The Scots Charitable Society will be presenting A Symphony in Stone, a special screening with producer Tony Burton at the First Presbyterian Church on Franklin Street here in Quincy, June 18th at 1:30 p.m. Alan McCall, the president of the society, is here with us to tell us a little bit more about that organization and about this special documentary. So, Alan, great to see you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. 30-second commercial on the society. We're the oldest charitable organization in the Western Hemisphere. I think there's a organization in London that has us beat by maybe 4 years. We were born out of a Scottish prisoners of war that were captured at the Battle of Dunbar in the 1600s, marched to Durham, England, and many of them were sent over to the Americas to do the business for England, and once their the wars were over, they were put into a servitude, indentured servant. Many of them went to the Saugus Ironworks, and when their servitude was done, many of them stayed in the Boston area, created this poor box society to help each other, and 370 years later, we're still moving on as the Scots Charitable Society. So it's a very tradition-rich organization that does charitable work for people of Scottish descent. Much of that is through undergraduate scholarships, through financial hardship relief, and more recently with cultural and Scottish Celtic events in the area. This event came to us from Tony Burton, who was the person who made this film. It's a documentary about the revitalization of the city of Glasgow, Scotland. Many Glaswegians are in the Quincy area, my parents being part of that. They contacted us, Mr. Burton, and he wanted to show his film in the Boston area. He was coming to Boston on personal business, so we set up an opportunity to show the film for him as one of our events, and we're also coupling it with a membership meeting. So it will be Saturday the 18th at the First Presbyterian Church. We have a historical connection with that church. The society for many decades had annual meetings, our scholarship award ceremony there. So it's fitting venue for us to have this event. So we're looking forward to seeing his film, which is about an hour long, and it won a few awards, and having him and a friend here to host on behalf of the society, and to, you know, anybody who's interested in the topic of this film. Glasgow was a very important city in the World War II era. It's was known as the shipbuilding capital of Europe, and it has a tradition-rich history of culture. If you go there, you kind of go back in time, a lot like the city of Edinburgh, more modern though. And you know, so this event touches home to me. My parents were born and raised in Glasgow. My sister was born there, 2 years old when they emigrated to the U.S. So anybody with Scottish roots or interested in history, it's a great opportunity. Free admission. Get to know the society a little bit, you know, have some snacks and drinks after the event, and hopefully we'll get a good crowd there. So, yeah.
Now, is Glasgow the capital?
Edinburgh is the capital.
Edinburgh is the capital.
A lot of Glaswegians don't like that, but it's kind of the city's kind of rival. It's kind of like a Boston-Worcester type of thing.
I see.
Edinburgh is truly, back in time, the old city of Edinburgh, Edinburgh Castle, Royal Mile, etc. Glasgow's more spread out, more of a cultural capital. It's hosted the Cultural Expo in Europe. It's hosted the Commonwealth Games. It's beautiful parks. It's a city that offers everything. It's a walkable city, and it's kind of been my family's home away from home. Every time we go, we have family in the Glasgow area, so I'm interested in seeing what it was and what it's come to be, and knowing that, you know, my family kind of lived through that time.
Right. What's the population, just even roughly, do you know?
Same as Boston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, more of a spread out city, not more skyscrapers, but
gotcha.
It's got several highly accredited universities, and it's home of the biggest rivalry in sports, Glasgow Celtic and Rangers. That's a topic for another show.
Okay. Producer, Tony Burton, is he from Glasgow?
Not originally. Okay. He's living there now. He's got roots to the city, and just had an interest in putting on film, what the architecture and the revitalization, of the city has gone through, pre-war, during the war, post-war.
I see. Okay.
So I'm interested. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
I'm going to wait and see it with everybody else. And so it's great. It's a good opportunity that I'm glad he contacted us. He said he was coming to Boston and he knew of our organization and he wanted to see if we could promote it for him. So we'll host him, and hopefully a lot of people take advantage of it.
Speaks a lot about your organization, actually, because are there other society locations throughout the country?
So our society is basically in Boston, New England area.
Okay.
So there's not another charitable organization like us for Scottish. There's a charitable Irish in Boston.
Yes,
there's the British charitable organization. There's one for Canada, Wales, I believe. But none that I know of that have the long history that we do.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, it's only been recently that we have kind of got the third wheel of having events and promoting the culture. Mm-hmm. It had been for a long time just people call us for financial relief or we give out scholarships. I will say that this year, the week after this event, at the end of June, we'll be having our scholarship award ceremony. Mm-hmm. We're going to give out almost $100,000 again this year.
Really?
To about 30 or so recipients of our who have applied for scholarship, went through the interview process, and it's a special event for us. It's kind of putting in real life what we do, and it's and hopefully those students go on and remember us and keep the society going.
Sure, absolutely.
But,
how has the pandemic, Alan, impacted the society?
Positive and negative. Negative in the way that we really weren't able to do some of the events. We tried to do 3 or 4 events a year. We tried, whiskey tastings on Zoom and things like that. But it was also an opportunity to kind of step back, take a look at where we are, where we want to go, and kind of fix some internal things, making sure that our bylaws and constitution are in line with what we're doing. And being a nonprofit, we need to be conscious of IRS laws and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we took some time to kind of look inward, fix some things, change our board structure a little bit, and just kind of get ready for when the world opened up again. So this will be our first in-person event in 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. So we're hoping to do our golf outing again. We're hoping to do, a couple years ago, we did a Kirkin of the Tartan.
I remember.
And we tried to do that during Tartan Week or Tartan Day in April. Missed that opportunity because of COVID restrictions. I think what we're going to do is take the Kirkin and move it to November and make it a St. Andrew's Day celebration.
Oh.
So, which covers our St. Andrew's celebration we try to do each year.
Okay.
So it's kind of been a moving target.
Yeah.
When I took over as president, I had some visions of what we wanted to do, enhance the society, bring more members in, et cetera. That's been put on hold. So, before I step down in January, I'm hoping that these events could kind of, catch some momentum again. And we've been going to all the Highland Games and festivals, which are back on the schedule again, which is our opportunity to get out there in person. We were at the old Orchard Beach Games in Maine last weekend. The weekend before, there was an event called the No Fame Games, it's an organization which focuses only on the Highland athletics, the caber tossing and the big man stuff. And they wanted to do just that, just to kind of introduce younger people to that tradition.
Yeah.
So we'll be at probably 4 more Highland festivals this year.
Okay.
With our tent and pushing our brochures and getting people to know who we are.
When you say Highland, that's referring to a region in Scotland?
So the Highlands are, there's the Central Highlands and the Northern Highlands. So basically the bottom half of Scotland is the urban, the Glasgow, the Edinburgh, further south would be Ayrshire country where Bobby Burns was, but north of Glasgow in Central Highlands and Inverness, which is a capital of the Highlands unofficially.
Okay.
Then you get up to the Aberdeen and Isle of Skye and, you know, the real beautiful part of the country. Mm. So Highland festivals are, they originate over there, but they're really big in the U.S. Mm. It's an opportunity for all the clans to get together, Scottish vendors to come, Highland dancing, piping competitions. Mm. Sometimes they'll have sheepdog herding demonstrations. There was an alpaca stand at Old Orchard Beach last week. You know, so it's just it's kind of all the components of Scotland coming together. I would recommend if you know, the next one scheduled is in Northampton, July 16th.
Okay.
the big one, though, is Loon Mountain in New Hampshire. Usually it's the second weekend after Labor Day. It's a four-day event, and on a on a good day, you get 25,000 people per day.
Really? Wow.
And if you get the nice fall weather, you know, you get that kind of Scottish feel.
Yes.
It's, you know, imagine, you know, thousands of pipers coming down off the mountain. It just kind of, it's an indescribable feeling, you know, so. And you don't have to be Scottish to appreciate it, you know, so.
Well, right, yeah. Right. But I would think for young Scots, it's a great way for them to connect to their culture.
It definitely is, yes, right. And, you know, we kind of bring that out in part of the scholarship, you know, the application criteria is for them to, you know, they have to be Scottish to be eligible. Mm-hmm. But then beyond that, you know, do they know about their culture? Does your, you know, the essay does it point out? Do they know what your clan? Do you know about your ancestors? Do you know about different things? And, you know, it's amazing some of the things, you know, we read. And then we also have some special scholarships. My family does a best essay award in memory of my parents and my aunt and uncle. Mm. There's a engineering award for anybody in engineering. There's one for healthcare. You know, so it's really a nice opportunity to get together. And most of the recipients come to the ceremony. It's held at the Tri-County Regional High School in Franklin.
Okay.
You know, so it's, I'm looking forward to, you know, being there again to present the awards to these folks and, you know, make them promise me that they're going to give back to society when they're, you know, making six figures. When and the universities they go to, I mean, we get everybody that goes to, you know, pursuing, you know, associate's degrees at community colleges all the way to, you know, Villanova, UPenn, Carnegie Mellon. So it runs the gamut. Yeah,
it's a good opportunity, I guess, to ask you, how do you become a member of the Scots Charitable Society?
Basically, you just have to contact us on our website. There's the instructions are there.
Okay.
It's a quick application with a $10 application fee. And it basically, that's where you declare your Scottish heritage.
I see.
We don't do Ancestry.com. We don't do a DNA test. If you're lying, we'll figure it out. So
it's the honor system.
It's the honor system.
Okay.
And then after the application is received, the membership chair will invite you to an interview. We've been doing them on Zoom recently or in person. Usually two other board members will sit in and just do a conversation about, you know, why do you want to be a member? What intrigues you? What committee are you going to volunteer for? And then at the very next opportunity, we present them as a member.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then it's $50 a year. And then, you know, it used to be you need to be sponsored by another member. But we broke down that barrier. And just anybody that is interested in the organization and, you know, meets the criteria can join.
Okay.
You know, so we've been doing well, getting about 5 to 10 a year. Now that, you know, we've got a marketing whiz who's getting our name out there, and it's bringing in a lot of, you know, interest to the society.
Yeah. How many, roughly, would you say, how many members?
So about 140 are on the roll right now. Say about 80 of them are active.
Okay.
We let, you know, after 2 years, if they haven't paid dues, then we contact them, and, you know, usually they catch up. So, like any organization now, you know, we need to get better attendance at events and membership meetings.
Sure.
People just have many things to do right now.
Yeah.
You know, we are doing, you know, Zoom when we have to.
Yep.
We're trying to do a hybrid situation with in-person meetings, but have a Zoom option there as well. You know?
Sure.
And we, a lot of them are, it's a big geographic area. We have many in Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire. So finding that, you know, magic place and time doesn't fit everybody.
Right.
No, but we're, you know, we've got people in Australia who are members. We've got California, a couple from Wisconsin just joined about a month ago. You know, so the goal is to get the word out there because we have the money to give. It's just you have to ask.
That's sure.
All. And events like this hopefully will, you know, bring people out and know more about the society.
Yeah. Are there regular meetings? What's the requirement of a member?
It's four meetings a year.
Okay.
Quarterly meeting. And then, you know, we try to get what I call my tartan army. You know, we're there, especially in New Hampshire, 4 days. We need people at our tent to, you know,
volunteer and help out. Sure.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, so if you, or we've got five or six different committees. If you have an expertise in finance or event planning or, you know, treasury, we can always, you know, use more people with them. We've got too many people wearing too many hats, and I'm trying to kind of, you know, avoid the burnout there, you know.
So, right.
We've got a great group of folks, and we all have that mission of just, you know, moving this. We're Scots helping Scots, basically.
Yeah. Know?
And hopefully events like this will get people out and understand what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, it is Scots Charitable Society presenting a screening of A Symphony in Stone, 60-minute documentary celebrating and explaining Glasgow's stunning cityscape and architecture. June 18th, 1:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church on Franklin Street, right here in Quincy. Free admission. Yeah. Why is the titles, do you know anything about the, is there going to be music along with the...
No, so I think it's kind of a parallel of how, you know, Stone being the building's revitalization and, you know, kind of maybe how it moves to music, you know. I think it's actually a catchy, but I can see where people might think, you know, it might be some kind of music. So maybe I'll have some Bach in the back.
playing in the background,
yeah. I do want to say, though, even though it's free admission, for food counts and stuff, if they will, to definitely pre-register, just your name and that you're coming.
Okay.
So that we have enough food to, you know, for the reception.
Yeah, stuff like but that. How many folks do you hope to?
Well, you know, if we can get to 100, that would be great. You
all
know,
right.
Even, I mean, the church is great. We have a great relationship with them. You know, they're function hall can fit many more than that.
Nice,
you know,
okay.
So, you know, so hopefully it'll be a good Scottish event and we can get people out to enjoy it, so, yeah.
Do you know if this producer, Tony Burton, has he made other films that you're aware
Not
of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, all right,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm really interested in meeting him. I'm glad that he's actually going to be there, too.
Sure.
Sometimes you don't get that opportunity, you know, so. But it was kind of ironic, you know, where we were talking about for our membership meetings, we try to have some kind of guest speaker or... some kind of attraction, and we were just kind of running out of ideas, and then he emailed me, and I said, well, that's a good way to marry this, get this guy into, and it happened to be the week we were planning to have a meeting anyway.
Wow, it's like, you know, Providence.
Yeah, and we were also thinking about, you know, well, maybe we should do a Saturday afternoon meeting instead of a weeknight somewhere.
Yes,
or,
yeah.
And so it's given us an opportunity to kind of try different things. And, you know, hopefully it'll all come together, like a symphony, right?
Exactly,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you on social media, Alan, or utilizing
social media? Yeah, so okay. Scots Charitable, if you Google Scots Charitable Society, all the information comes up,
okay.
Links to how to apply for a scholarship, how to apply for relief, how to become a member, if you want to donate, all of our events. We also have a Scottish Links section where we're trying to be all things Scottish. So if something is happening, you know, we'll put it on our website.
Like,
I need to find a piper. You can come to our website. We can tell you who all the pipers are in the area.
Okay.
You know, how do I know what clan I am? There's a link for that.
That's a great one. Yeah.
You know, so we're trying to be more. We seem to be the kind of the main conduit of Scottish information.
You're the go-to.
You know, so and it, if it drives people to the website, then that's great.
Sure.
Know, right. So, yeah. So, I mean, and we were involved with the Jubilee. It was still part of the UK, you know, so we were posting things on, you know, on the website about the Jubilee. We actually were invited to the British consulate residence.
Really?
So we had representation there.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, so, you know, we're still, you know, doing as many British things. And we have a good relationship with the British Charitable Society. They... you know, if they don't have funding, but the person went to them, but happens to be Scottish, then we can help them.
Oh, okay.
You know, and
that's
nice
that the politics. I know there's some politics involved there. I'm just glad.
Yeah,
it's
and
not
you know, just one
over.
Thing I'll add. you know, just you do a lot of these things, and you know, you send the information along, and then the next thing comes along, and you're wondering what happened with, you know. And so at the No Fame Games last 2 weeks ago, a gentleman walked up to me and he said, "Your organization is great. is Miss Kennedy here your relief person?" And I said, "No, but she happens to be my sister, and she's our relief chair." So not long ago, we got a inquiry from a man who had an autistic child, and they needed to have a diagnosis evaluation done, which was going to cost about $8,000.
Wow.
So he was from Clan something, he was Scottish, and he asked us for help, and we were able to give him a significant amount of money.
That's great.
And this was the guy, and he brought his son over, who was the direct recipient of this.
Yes.
And it just, I was choked up. It's like, this is what we're here for.
Yeah.
You know, if nobody comes to the tent today, and this is what we're here for. And I was so happy that he did. We took a picture. I texted it to my sister. She was just so moved about it. You know, so these are the things that, you know, if you're Scottish, don't be shy.
Right.
We can help. And we'd just love to be able to do that. And, you know, again, running events like this just helps that awareness.
Well, I hope we've helped to get the word out for
definitely.
You a little bit here.
I really do appreciate it. You've helped us before, and I know that from our interview a couple years ago with the Kirkin, people said they saw it on TV,
good.
And that's how they found out about it, and so we're very appreciative of that.
You're very welcome. Yeah, Thank you for sharing that, because we don't hear a lot of things either, so it's good to know.
Yeah, anywhere we can get the word out, we'll do that.
Actually, as I recall, your event in 2020 was one of the last ones in Quincy to have to be canceled because of the pandemic.
Yeah, we were just holding on. We were trying to get it, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully in November, the Kirkin will be at this place again in Quincy, the church, and it'll be tied in with St. Andrew's Day, which is, St. Andrew is like Scotland, like St. Patrick is to Ireland, you know, so we want to celebrate St. Andrew. You know?
Well, we'll have you back before then to talk about that. How's that?
Wonderful.
Thanks,
you again.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
And thank you for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We will see you next time.